Today we're going to start a four-week series called All of Jesus for All the World. And one of the things that I have found is that as I grow closer to Christ, there's more and more that I realize, first of all, that I don't know. And then there's more and more that I realize about God's goodness and his love and his care for me. And in fact, A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, went through that. And I'd mentioned this about a year ago when we first came here to preach in Canada, that A.B. Simpson was part of the First Presbyterian Church in New York City. And this was one of the most prominent churches during his time. He would have made about $100,000 a year, which is really, really a lot, okay? Especially when you consider back then. And he noticed, though, that there was people outside the church that were dying and going to hell. And he was simply not okay with that. And so he walked by the dock where the immigrants from Ireland were working there, and he started sharing the gospel, and he started inviting them to church, and they started coming, and the ushers and the elders and deacons met him at the door and said, "I'm sorry, you're not dressed good enough to come here." And so A.B. Simpson knew in his heart that he cared more about people coming to know Jesus than being comfortable. So he didn't talk to his wife, though, which was not a good thing. And he stepped down from his position and said, "I'm going to spend my time building into those that need to know Jesus." And as he went on, he ended up getting sick and struggling with health issues. And his daughter ended up struggling with health issues. And he went through this time where he went off to this camp and he just prayed and said, "Lord, I need you to show yourself to me." And during that time, God actually healed his body physically. And he realized, whoa, God is so much more than just a Sunday morning thing or something we read off that's far and distance. In fact, you might be here today thinking, you know what? The God that I've heard about and known about is a far off distant God. It's good that he touches other people's lives, but he doesn't really touch mine. What A.B. Simpson came to discover, and we continue to discover through God's word, it wasn't anything new to him, it's just in Scripture, is that Jesus wants to be all to us. He wants to be our Savior first and foremost. He wants to be our sanctifier, which means that he comes in our life and he changes us and he convicts us. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I'm not the person I used to be. I was talking to my small group of guys at the Club 222 this past week, and I said, you know, my language was awful when I was in middle school and high school. And it's because I was watching TV shows, I was watching things, I was listening to music that was feeding my soul junk. And when it came out, I was angry, I was bitter. But then Jesus started working in my life. And so we're going to look at this today. And you see, Miss Susie made these banners. Didn't she do an awesome job on these too? She always does those. She's downstairs teaching the kids today with Meg. But we're going to focus this morning on Christ our Savior. And for each of us, I think that there's this point in the Christian walk sometimes where we think, yeah, Jesus saved me years ago, but then it just stopped. The thing is that Jesus saved us when he died on the cross for all humanity who believed in him, but then he's continually saving us and transforming us. How many of you need God's grace every day? That's why we see in Romans 12:1, right? Be transformed by the daily renewing of your minds. And then he sanctifies us. He changes us. And we're going to look at, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a special service on Sunday morning where we focus on Christ our healer. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have emotional and spiritual and physical baggage, right? How many of you married someone and thought they were perfect until the day after, right? We're all broken and we're all hurting people. But Jesus, it says that by his stripes we are healed. So church, as we try to reach out to our community, we try to share the gospel, we have to first come to realize we are broken and lost without him. Amen? And so we're going to look at Christ as our healer, and we're going to have actually an extended time of worship, and we're going to have a time where we can come up forward, and if you need prayer, we're going to have the elders up here to pray and anoint with oil. And then Christ, our coming King, we believe that Jesus is coming back. Amen. Matthew 14:14 says the gospel will go to the ends of the earth and then the end will come. It's not a scary thing. It's a good thing if you know Jesus. first verse I want us to take a look at this morning. It's not in your notes, but if you have your notes, you can open them up. It's Isaiah 43:11. And Yahweh is talking to the children of Israel, and he says, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Can I tell you, if you're broken and you're hurting this morning, that's a good place to be, because guess what? You only have one place to look, and that's up. But if you're looking for your spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or finances or your job, or definitely not the government for to be your Savior, you're going to be disappointed. This next picture could bring up different connotations to so many of us. We're going to take a look at today that what we deserve is death, right? I would ask you to pray for Joel and I and Susie. We're going to be going to this evening to speak to the Juvenile Correction Center students. Do you know that we are just as broken and lost as they are? But when we see this, we think of the heavy-handedness of God, that there's judgment upon our sin, and there's judgment upon the things that we've done or our separation from God. And yet at the same time, we're going to see later, God has so much more for you and I than we could ever imagine. But it starts with him being our Savior first. If you are your own Savior, you will never be able to be saved by God. One of my favorite songs of all time has these lyrics in it. It says, but as I ran my hellbound race, indifferent to the cost, meaning the fact that you and I without Jesus, we are running our hellbound race. There's a terrible song, I hate it, Highway to Hell, okay? How many of you guys hear it or have heard it before? Okay, you need to repent. No, I'm just joking. But you think about it. It's something to laugh about. It's something to mock about. It's something that we people take as a joke. Like, oh, yeah, if I walk into church, I'm going to burn. Guess what? If you're here today, the building is still standing. And since 1850, there's been people coming in here who are just lost like you. Nehemiah found a book in the attic, and he said, Dad, do you know our church is from 1850? Was Pastor Ken here back then? I said, well, son, as the founder of the church, of course he was. But no, there's been people who have been lost from the time we said, that's the best laugh I've ever gotten. But listen to these words. As I ran my hellbound race, indifferent to the cost, which means that it doesn't cost me anything. It doesn't hurt anything. It cost the Son of God his life on the cross. It says, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to that cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place and bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. We could literally end right there. But I want to encourage you that if you are running this race and you're tired, you're worn out, you're beat up, you're defeated, maybe you're a Christian, but you're saying, I'm still struggling. Guess what? Turn to Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus in your heart, turn to Jesus. We can always do that. The definition of Savior in the Bible is one who saves from a degree of evil. I need saved every day. Yes, my soul is secure in Jesus Christ by what he's done on the cross. But I can still choose to walk away, amen? I can still choose to fill myself up with things that aren't of him. And I need to say, Jesus, I need you as my Savior. It says, the relation sustained by our Lord to his redeemed ones. He is their Savior. The great message of the gospel is about salvation and the Savior. It's the gospel of salvation. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ secures to a sinner a personal interest in the work of redemption. Do you know you're not too far away from being redeemed? Salvation is redemption made effectual to the individual by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to say something here. Salvation is something that was instituted and started by God. But it is also personal. that when we first fall, when Adam and Eve first fell, there needed to be some sort of payment for the sin that they had committed and our separation from God. Yet God in his loving grace looked down and said, I'm going to restore things. The other thing we're going to see is that he is both a universal Savior and an exclusive Savior. Do you know that Jesus died for each one of us and he found value in us? How is he exclusive? If you don't ask him in, you don't surrender to him, then he can't have a part of you. Why? Because he's holy. We're going to take a look at that. But John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Guess what? That doesn't mean that maybe if you just try hard enough or you're good enough or you do enough good things, then Jesus will truly love you. Do you know Jesus loved you so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? That's exciting. Yet it's heartbreaking at the same time. To look at Christ as Savior, first we need to look at the nature of God. He is perfect and holy in all that he does and is. Do you know God's holiness is his number one attribute? Why is that? Because we can trust him. I don't know about you, how many of you have been let down by people? And you've been hurt by people? How many of you have been hurt by the church before? Ah, guess what? Maybe we trust the church as our Savior more than Jesus sometimes. Maybe we trust people more than him. He is infinite and we are finite. Guess what? We don't know everything. If you've ever had a teenager or a preteen, which I have two right now, they know everything. It's amazing. I'm 39 and I still don't know a whole lot. And they have figured out life, apparently. I think our relationship with God, we tried to do the same thing. He is immutable and we are not. God doesn't change with the shifting shadows or the changing of seasons. He remains constant. So when we trust in him, we know we can continue to trust in him, that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to turn around. No, sorry, I won't do that. See, my daughter Ellie Rickrolls us constantly, so I'll have to go tell her to watch that. And also, he created us with just the breath of his words in his image, and thus he made us his prized possession. You have intrinsic value. Even our brokenness and our messed upness in the pit of despair, God looks down and says, you have value. Think about Mary. In the Bible, where is Mary at when Jesus finds her? She's demon-possessed and caught in sin. And yet he forgives her and redeems her, and she's with Jesus at the cross. Then we have to look at the nature of man, our own nature. Do you know we are created in the image of God? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, it says, therefore, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and over the birds and the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then in James, or in verse 27, it continues, so God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Guess what? Sin distorts our world. We need saved from the warpedness of this world. Amen? You were created just the way you are. Can I tell you this too? Sin distorts our own view of who we are. That's why you see so many people, you know, if you see those magazines of these women and they look like they have everything together, do you know that the most famous models that there are, they spend hours in photoshopping their pictures and doing airbrushing and changing their whole structure. As guys, we compare ourselves to other people as well. Man, if you're made in the image of God, you have value. In James chapter 3, verse 9, it says, with it we bless our Lord and our Father, and we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Church, we better be a people that represent Christ our Savior in the way we treat people. The way we look at people. People have an intrinsic value, not because they're so perfect and have it together, but because God loves them. The other thing that we see in mankind is we were designed for a relationship with God. In Genesis 3:8, when Adam is in sin and he's hiding, we see this verse that is so heartbreaking. Because it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Now, why is it so heartbreaking? It was normal for God to walk amongst them into their presence. That is what our relationship with God was intended to be and what it's supposed to be and what it will be completed one day. Amen? And yet, in this, with the sin, when they realized they were sinful, they hid from God. They hid from the thing that was so precious to them. Verse 9, we continue on. It says, we were designed to walk in the relationship with God. And verse 9 says, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? I wonder if God's speaking to you today and Jesus saying, look, I paid everything on the cross. Where are you today? Christian, remember the relationship you used to have with me. Remember when you used to walk hand in hand with me and side by side, and you'd open up my word and it would speak to your heart, and then all of a sudden you became angry or you became bitter or you filled yourself up with stuff. See, on our own, we live in total depravity. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I want to encourage us, would we be a church that would be attentive to the Word of God? And guess what? That means sometimes we need to own some of our stuff. On our own, we don't care about the things of God either. We care about our own possessions. Ephesians 4:18 says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. Have you ever met someone that's just hardened towards God? And maybe you're sitting here today and you say, man, that's me. Can I tell you what? There's been times in my life where I have been bitter towards God. I'm blessed that last year I had a wife who said, Dan, we are going to stay focused on what Jesus has called us to do. And when I was looking for a part-time job, you know, and she would say, if you can't preach on a Sunday, you cannot take that job. I don't care how much it pays. Man, that's a blessing to have a wife like that. And to have kids that said, Dad, we want to serve Jesus. But I want you to be honest. Look at your life. See, are there things that you need to look at and reevaluate in your life? The other thing that we know is that no one had to teach us to sin. If you've had kids, they're sinners. My dog is a sinner. I don't know. I don't know your perspective on. You know, I'm still working through that a little bit. But yesterday I smoked this beautiful ham. It looked so good, and we were eating it. And I heard, and I look up, and his tongue is licking the top of my ham. And I'm like, and then I threw a shoe in anger. And my daughter said, that's abuse. But anyways, I didn't throw it at her. I was at the dog, okay, but. See, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope, future and a hope. So many of us squander our hope in our future because Christ really isn't our Savior, but our possessions and our lifestyle and the things that we chase after are. The other thing we know is that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory and of God's love, right? There's not a single one of us in this room that's better than another person, that we've all fallen short. Now we're going to look at the destiny of man. What do we actually deserve here now? Well, what we deserve is death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. What you and I deserve is separation from God. And in fact, that's what Jesus himself actually went through. One of the most painful things in all of Scripture is Jesus crying out, Abba, Abba, why have you forsaken me? Or Father, why have you forsaken me? In fact, when we were doing devotions with my daughter Evelyn, we were younger, we came to that part and she started crying and said, why did the Father have to turn his face from the Son? And we said, Evelyn, it's because of our sin. It's because of what you and I have done. See, Jesus bore the full punishment that you and I deserve. Without Christ, I'm destined to eternal separation in hell. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 21, there's a rich man, and then there's Lazarus, the poor man. And the rich man, it says, he yelled out, screaming in eternal agony. And he cried out for Lazarus just to be able to drop a drip of water on his tongue so he would be find comfort. And God says, there's a great chasm between where you are and where he is, and you can't, there's no going back and forth, right? Hell is a real thing. And the worst part about it is separation from God. Why? Because he's holy and he's good. You take away God out, you take out his holiness and goodness, and there's corruption and evilness and wickedness. And we wonder why our schools and government are messed up, right? We are all destined to die and to face judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed once and for all for a man to die and face judgment before the living God. None of us are going to escape it. How many of us used to pray before tests, Lord, give me the answers, but we didn't study? I've had one of the number one requests I get from youth group students is, Pastor Dan, can you pray for me for this test? I said, sure. Have you studied? No. I said, not even Jesus taking that wheel. Like you have to actually work at it. In Matthew 24, we see that there's an urgency to get right with God. In verse 12, it starts off, says, because of the increase of wickedness and the love of most will grow cold. When we live in a world where abortion is okay, guess what? Our love has grown cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. What I love about Jesus is that in all our weakness, he shows his strength. If you read Revelation, you read about the seven churches. Guess what? It shows the weakness of the church and how Jesus' strength matches it. Go back and read through those. It's amazing. But Jesus changes everything. In Romans chapter 5, and let's stand here and let's read this together. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. We'll stretch a little bit. Sorry if I've made you fall asleep and I'm waking you up from your nap. But if you're able to. Let's read this together. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies with God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God for our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. You may be seated. There's so much going on for that. And one of the heads of the Christian Mission Alliance, I was watching a video, John Soper, he said that he came up with a list of all the ways his life has changed because Jesus is his Savior. And I mentioned in the beginning that he's Savior for all, but it's also personal. If you don't accept that salvation, it doesn't mean much. Well, it doesn't mean anything. Without Jesus, you're lost. So how are our lives different because of Jesus? Well, for one, my sins are forgiven based on 1 John 4:9. How good is that? My guilt is gone. In Acts 2:48, it says that we're given a clean conscience, that our sins are forgiven, that we no longer are living in fear or condemnation because Jesus has overcome. That's exciting. Our worship services should be filled with coming back and saying, look, I shared the gospel with someone. Here's how they came to know Christ, or here's what Jesus has done for me personally. I've been declared righteous because of his justification. What does justification mean? It means that when God looks at me now, Dan Kenyon's a broken, sinful person on his best day. But when God sees me, he sees his son. Not because of anything I've done, but besides placing my trust and hope in him. I have peace with God. We read in Romans 5:1 that because of justification, we have peace. How many people do you know that do never live in peace? There's anger and fighting in homes all the time. This is a sidetrack, but I remember when I was a newlywed husband and I was working at my church in Norwalk, and this lady stood up and said, I just want to let you know we are celebrating 50 years of marriage this week. And my husband and I have never fought once. He has never raised his voice at me. We've never gotten a disagreement. And I thought, I am the worst husband in the whole world. And I'm a pastor? Like, what is going on? And then I was talking to one of the pastors. He goes, well, I don't know what house she lived in, but I grew up next door to them. And there was always yelling and screaming nonstop. So, you know, I don't know, maybe they were praying loudly. But if you want true peace, man, you need to have Jesus be your Savior. And guess what? That's of every aspect of your life. Remember, all of Jesus for all the world. God's love and spirit dwell in me. The living God dwells inside of me. That means when temptation comes, I can look and say, what did Jesus do? Well, he used scripture and he says, do not put the Lord your God to test. But also I can say, I have the Holy Spirit, the living God living inside of me. And God's word says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have value. And guess what? Life is hard sometimes, isn't it? It doesn't always go like you expect. And guess what? You've went down roads that you thought you never would. You have value. I say it all the time, but by loving the unlovable, Christ has made me lovable. I have been reconciled with God. We see that in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. One of the things that we know is that families are divided, our countries divided, our nations divided. Why? Because we are divided from our God. When we have a relationship with him, it changes everything. I'm a new creature. I meant to put creation, that's why. So a new creation, all right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, those that are in Christ are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And so when Satan froze your past back in your face, said, yeah, that's like toilet paper in my old house. I don't live there anymore. In fact, we have a weird sense of humor in my family, but I grew up the old set of eight, okay? So Sometimes our stuff came from other people, okay? Meaning if someone threw out a nice couch, we would drive around, we'd pick it up. And I remember we picked up this one couch that someone got rid of, and we used it for 3 years till it was destroyed. And we thought it would be really funny to go and we dropped it off at the same house we picked it up from. So the next morning, they looked out and they saw this couch that they got rid of 3 years ago. So, yeah. I thought it was funny, but we have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Romans 6:23, the first part is for the wages of sin is death, but what's the second part? But the gift of God is eternal life. Yeah, what we deserve is death, but God has so much, something so much more for us. The other thing is that I have been adopted by God. And here's the thing. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons for Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Do you know, God could have just forgiven you, and he didn't have to adopt you. There's something different about that. That means that you are now part of his family. In fact, we get to be co-heirs with Jesus and in all God's blessing. I don't understand that. How are we co-heirs with the creator of the universe when we're fallen, broken people? But God says he loves us. We showed that first picture of a judge in the beginning. And yet, if we go over five slides, okay, and then we'll go back to that one. Sorry, Tom. There's a picture of his family here that's being adopted, and you can stand in front of a courtroom, and each of these kids that are adopted, guess what? They become fully part of that family. An adoption in Scripture, if you adopted a servant or if you adopted someone, they were co-heirs with all the rest of the kids. There was no partiality. God doesn't have a favorite child. That's the number one question in my house is, who's the favorite child? It's always by our youngest for some reason. You know, there's something significant in realizing that we belong to God. In fact, church, if we want to talk about something convicting, and then I know we got to go on. Oh, I was looking at the clock time completely wrong. I thought it was almost 11 o'clock, so we're good. All right. Do you know, keep that file, yeah. Do you know that currently in foster care, there's one kid in foster care for every two churches in America? There's one kid in foster care for every two churches in America. Do you know we could destroy the foster care system in a good way if the church would stand up and actually adopt people in foster care? And why? Because Jesus cares about the orphans and widows. Sorry, little side note. Also, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 shows us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Why? Because Christ is my Savior. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And in fact, we see that death nor life nor suffering, nothing can separate us from his love. Death has no more power over me, as we see in Romans 6:9. Also, we have an inheritance that will not perish. How many of you guys have things that you thought were going to last you forever and they're broken already? I mentioned when we first got our Honda Odyssey, it was a 2006, we loved it. The second night, my wife accidentally backed into it, okay? Things don't last. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, blessed be the God, our Father, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. What does that mean, that born again? Is your old dead parts of your life are gone. Your addictions to pornography, your addictions to alcohol, your addictions to whatever it is, Jesus removes them. Your past divorces, and you think, but I'm so broken. Could Jesus really love me? Do you know Jesus knows everything about you, and he still loved you enough to die on the cross for you? And it continues on. It says, we've been born to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Whoa. You mean our inheritance isn't here on earth? Church, let's stop living for our life here on earth and start living for the life we're going to live for eternity. If you've seen the movie Sandlot, you know they when the ball goes over the fence, it's lost what? Forever. Eternity is forever. And yet I based most of my decisions on what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years instead of what is best for his kingdom. One of the last points here, I've crossed from death to life. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. You do not need to stand before God and face judgment if you have a relationship with him. How awesome is that? And yes, we're going to stand before judgment, but God's going to come, Jesus is going to come alongside and say, hey, I know him, or I know her. Or he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the, hey, I know him side. Here's our closing questions today. Is Christ your Savior? I'm not talking about, do you think he just died on the cross for your sins? And yeah, sure, I believe that. Do you know that Scripture says even the demons believe and shudder? That's scary. I'm saying, do you have a personal relationship with the living God? And I don't care if you've been in the church 60 years. C.S. Lewis says, standing in a church makes you no more Christian than standing in a garage makes you a car. Trust me, I try it with the gym. I stand in there. Nothing happens. I used to walk on the treadmill and watch my 500-pound life. It never helped me out. But how is your life different today because he is your Savior? If Jesus is your Savior, how are you different today than you were yesterday? How are you different than you were a few months back? How are you different than... How is it different with the way you're treating people and spending time with God? And can I tell you this? A lot of times what happens is that the difference is that we lose our love for Jesus because we forget that he's our Savior and that he needs to be our Savior every day. That we forget to cling to his word because sometimes it's the only thing you have to hold on to. Does it break your heart the fact that there are those who do not know Christ as their Savior? I'm talking about breaking your heart. You know, one of my favorite gifts that I got for this Christmas, all right, is this beautiful Corvette, and my buddy gave it to me here. That I had mentioned that back when I was out of high school, I got a job for a mortgage company for one day, and it was before the housing market crashed and all that, and I was thinking, okay, what color Corvette am I going to drive? And I got this as a Christmas present and said, never forget that by giving up the Corvette, how many people are going to be in the kingdom of God someday because of that decision? Church, what would happen if we based our life, our financial decisions, our marriage decisions, our kids' decisions, based on, is this going to bring more people into the kingdom of God? Is this going to connect more people to them? Look, I used to have a huge guitar collection, okay? I had 13 guitars and all this stuff. I had 4 drum sets and all this stuff. Guess what? Most of it's broken. But when I die, it all perishes. Our pride, are afraid to tell people about Jesus. Church, let's be a church set on fire telling people about Jesus. I want my last words to be Jesus, only Jesus, always. And that was one of the things that A.B. Simpson said, but also all of Jesus for all the world. And as we go through this next few weeks, I'm praying, would you pray each day and say, Jesus, Are there areas where I'm not allowing you to be fully in my life? Maybe I've accepted you as my Savior, but I need you to save me daily. God, I need you to sanctify me, which means changing me. God, I need you to be my healer. And Jesus, because I know you're the coming King, I want to bring as many people with you as possible. One of the things that I read this week was a story, and I'm going to close with this. There was two different cases of ships that had crashed. And the one, there was a wealthy businessman on it, and he was traveling, and his wife was concerned for him. And the boat went down, and they didn't have cell phones or anything, email they can text back and forth. But she ended up receiving a one-word response through Telegram saying, "Saved." She knew that her husband was saved, even though many had perished in that boat. And then fast forward a few years later, there was another boat that had crashed, and this husband was on there with his kids and some of the other family, and the wife received such a sad statement back. It said, "Only I am saved." What that meant is the kids had perished and that those that they loved had perished. Church, when I get to heaven someday, I want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But also, I want to hear and see that the people that I love the most are saved and in the presence of God, not because of anything I've done, but because they came to know the living Jesus. Bob's heart is we've been talking about, sorry, Bob, I just pulled. Bob's heart is that we would join other churches in the area, say that we don't want a single household in our communities around us to go without ever hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't think that happens here. We think it's all in the 420 window or it's all overseas. But guess what? When we do our Club 222, there's kids who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ before. Church, let's arise and let's make Christ our Savior. And as he's our Savior, let the living God work and flow through us. How many of you want to be a part of that? I don't want to have empty seats here. And I want to years down the road be able to start other churches where we're sending people away. Say, look, we need to spread the gospel out here. But it takes with us first knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Father God, I pray that as we get ready to end here, Lord, I love this church so much, but you love it more. Lord, I love my neighbors and my friends and my coworkers. Lord, I love my brother-in-law who's struggling right now, Lord. Would you touch his heart? Would you uplift him? Lord, would he come to know you? Lord, I pray for those that we each have specific people, and I'm just going to ask that you would just take a minute right now as the worship team's coming up, and would you pray for that person that you know that doesn't know Jesus? Pray that they would come to know him. Lord, I pray that we'd be a church set apart for you, a church on fire. And Father, for those in this room that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they've never asked you and they've never given their heart to you, they've never surrendered, Lord, I pray that your word says your love cast out, your perfect love cast out all fear. Lord, would you cast out any fear from them with that? And would they embrace the God who loves them? So if that's you today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking, if you're here today and say, you know what, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. I want to ask him in for the first time. If you would just raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you. If that's you, you could just pray this in your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I've made a mess of things. I know I've done things that are wrong, and I know you're good. Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you make me a new person? I want to live for you. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again. And Jesus, today I want you to be my Savior. And I give you all because I want all of Jesus in my life. In your precious name, amen. If that's you today, or if you just need prayer, man, come up here and we'd love to pray with you today. And church, let's continue serving him.